Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Greetings, saints. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Our Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that your goodness is all we need, Lord. We praise you for pouring out of your Spirit upon us today. We praise you for gifting us with ears to hear and eyes to see. And Lord, please take over today. We just ask you to share. Let your anointing flow and prepare us, God. Give us wisdom and understanding concerning these things that are happening and those to come. And we thank you. Thank you for your help today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been studying the Saul ministry. And the Lord has shown me a lot about it in the last years. A lot of experiences the Lord has given me. I'd like to share a few of them with you. But I'd asked the Lord, if you remember during our last study, I'd asked him a few days before that, where are we, Lord? And the Lord gave me 1 Chronicles chapter 10, 1 through 6, basically. And we discovered that what happened was, before the David ministry, there was the Saul ministry, who basically lost their battle with the inhabitants of the land, with the fleshly man, the old man who lived in the land. We discovered that this old man represented their carnal nature, their carnal flesh, and they lost their battle, basically because Saul prepared to lose this battle. He refused to obey the Lord and put to death the previous inhabitants of the land. He refused to put to death their king, Agag. And God basically cursed him for that. He gave him no authority. Instead, the inhabitants of the land came back and conquered him and conquered all the people that followed him. He led them to disaster. He led them to losing the battle against basically what's typed there as their old flesh. We have a ministry today that's basically thinking that the old flesh cannot be overcome. And it's not really necessary to overcome because we're forgiven, right? But they missed the plan of God. And David's gift to be able to conquer the people of God's enemies was because he basically had put to death his old man, Goliath. And taken off his head. He'd taken off the mind of the flesh. He did exactly the opposite of what Saul did. And was given the victory. And I think I remember mentioning to you that the Lord told me many years ago that he was moving the Sauls out of the way and making room for the Davids. By that, I didn't mean they were going to be physically killed, obviously, because that's not what we've been looking at and that's not what we've been seeing, but that they were spiritually dying. You have no defense against the enemy when you're spiritually dead. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots, as Jude speaks it. And he called them shepherds in Jude. He said that they were twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And that, of course, is because you can be twice born, but die again. You can be born again and die again. Well, anyway, after the Lord spoke that to me about the Sauls, moving the Sauls out of the way, what does he mean moving out of the way? Well, we discovered he meant for the elect, for the people of God that were to go on and to be the elect, that this false leadership over them was going to be brought to decimation. And disrespect among them, dead to them. And so anyway, after that revelation came to me, after the Lord spoke that, matter of fact, the same day, it came on the news that night that one of the most, if not the most, famous minister in America had been caught red-handed in fornication. And that was just the beginning of a long chain of ministers who fell by the wayside, being caught doing this and doing that. And it's still happening today, isn't it? Still happening. And but I want to share a revelation I got concerning this same minister that fell that first day. I got a revelation. God gave me a very vivid dream, and I was standing on a mountain looking down the side of this mountain, and I saw a construction crew very plainly putting up these real high-tension poles, these metal poles that they use for the high-tension wires, in order to bring a power line over the top of this mountain. And I believe the mountain represented the kingdom of God. So they were coming up the side of this mountain, and while they were doing that, I looked down beside me, and there's an old cow laying on the ground. Now, keep in mind, when I first saw this, I didn't understand the meaning of it. It was only after it was over that the Lord brought to my attention the meaning of all this. But I looked down on the ground beside me, and there's this old cow laying there, very shriveled up, very on the edge of death, you know. And so while I'm standing there looking at this, a construction worker comes up on a backhoe with a front end loader, and he scoops this old cow up and starts moving this cow out of the way. But not before I reached down beside the cow and picked up a big baby boy. I mean a big handful, a big baby boy. And I knew that this baby boy had been birthed from that cow. And so the front end loader picks up the cow and starts carrying the cow on off, you know. And I have this big baby boy, and I walk over and I get on an escalator. And I'm going up on this escalator. And let me give you the interpretation thus far. Well, while I was on the escalator, I may add one more thing here. While I was on the escalator, I looked beside me on the escalator, and here's a woman with a normal-sized baby boy. And she looks at this big baby in my arm. She says, That looks like a real baby boy. And I said, yeah, and I wonder how that's possible. And I'm looking over at this front end loader carrying the cow on off. You know, how is this possible that this could come out of that, was my thought, you know. And so to share the interpretation with you, the Lord impressed me that the power line that's coming, the great power that's coming, is not going to come through the organizational churches as they are today. They are dying, like the Saul ministry. The Saul ministry has brought great destruction to the church through lack of truth, through lack of putting the Amalekites to death, the old man to death, through lack of leading God's people to put the old man to death. It's great destruction. Death has come. We see here in 1 Chronicles 10, 1 through 6, basically Saul and all of the house that was under him and all the people that he led in the war against the man of flesh, the old flesh, they all died. And so this old cow was on the verge of death, and I believe the Lord showed me it represented the apostate religious Christian institutions of men. Dying, passing off the scene, God refusing to share his power with or minister his power through these people, to them or through them. And so he's moving it out of the way. This is a repetition of what happened in Jesus' day. You know, in Jesus' day, there was a powerless bunch of people there that were considering themselves the people of God. And they were dying. And he said to them, except you believe that I am he, or I am, literally, you will die in your sins. They were doing it. They were dying in their sins. And their Saul ministry was dying along with them, you know. But Jesus got a little remnant out of those people, didn't he? The disciples who came out of the apostate denominations of Judaism, they followed him. He went into the sheepfold, he called them by name, and he called them out. And they followed him. Basically, that's what this vision was all about. This vision that the Lord gave me is a modern-day reenactment of that. The old cow represents that system of worshiping the golden calf, you know. But now we're seeing the end result of it, death. And the old cow was drying up and shriveled up and dying. But out of that cow, God plans on bringing forth fruit. And this big baby boy represented the fruit that God is going to get out of this system. A multitude of people, folks, are going to come out of the system very soon. And because God's also got a man-child ministry ready to lead them, you see. They're going to come out. They're going to follow Christ in this man-child ministry, just like those early disciples did. Do you know that Jesus came in a body of David, right? A son of David. He was son of man and son of God. Jesus came in that body. And the Bible tells us the same thing about him coming in these days, that he's going to come to be glorified in his saints, marveled at, and all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Paul looking down the road in our day, seeing that Jesus was going to come in his people. And he's coming to be glorified in his saints. Praise God. It's exactly what the Bible teaches. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Behold, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, Christ in us, right? And we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So the first fruits of these people to come into this are people, of course, who are believing that they can come into this because they believe it's a promised word of God. That's the reason they're going to be the first fruits to come into this. So they're ready to take a fruit that's born from this old, corrupt, dead system and bring it up the escalator. The escalator represents arrest. And they're not stairs. They're not steps. These are all steps or something that you have to work to go up, but an escalator is something that works for you. And this is what God is going to do. This is supernatural. It's going to be His power, meaning basically we're going to get to rest in His power to bring it to pass. And God pointed out to me that the cow represents this system because a cow eats grass. You know, the Apostle Peter said that all flesh is as grass. And the cow system of Saul only devours grass. In other words, a fleshly understanding of the word. They don't see in the spirit. They don't have eyes to see in the spirit, just like the Pharisees and the people under them had no eyes to see in the spirit. And Jesus spoke of that in Matthew 13, you know. They had no eyes and no ears. And so this cow only partakes of a fleshly understanding of the word and only feeds milk. I mean, the only thing you can get that's truthful out of this apostate system is milk. And most of the time they don't have that right. So, but where we're headed to is meat, folks. I mean, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, Jesus said. Do the will of my Father. And God's people are going to do just that. We're coming into a day when the people who come out from among them, like those early disciples did, they're going to do the will of God. They're going to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. History always repeats, the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So, anyway, I believe the going up on the escalator represents closer and closer to God. More and more godly, overcoming the world beneath, right? The power is not coming to the old cow. The power is coming to the fruit that's born out of the old cow, you see. And as we were going up this escalator, the scene changed, and I saw a vision of me going into a meeting. And in this meeting, I looked around and I saw just all the famous preachers in America. And one of the most famous, actually, it was the man I spoke of a while ago, the one who fell the very day the Lord told me that I'm moving the Sauls out of the way and making room for the David. This man, the reason I don't mention his name, you'd probably all know it, but I believe that this is going to be one of the few men that may repent. You know, in Jesus' day, very few people repented. Received a dream here recently about this man repenting and knowing about our ministry and talking about it favorably and so on and so forth. And I thought, oh, praise God. You know, I would love to see that. I'd love to see them all repent. It's not going to happen, but I would love to see them all repent. The overwhelming majority of the Saul ministry is never going to repent. They're not. We have a Saul who was a Paul. Became a Paul, he repented. He was Saul who Paul, right? Became Paul. So we know that there is a small minority of people that will. There's a type there in the shadow. But anyway, I went into this conference of these famous ministers. Of course, I'm not a famous minister, but I went into this conference and this man walked over to me. He walked out, he left the crowd and he walked over towards me and he had some papers in his hand. They were all rolled up, and he handed them to me, you know, like he was passing something on to me, you know. And when they hit my hand, I heard a voice, and it was the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, this is his propaganda about what he has accomplished. And I understood that this man fell because he thought he was really irreplaceable and because of what he had been doing for the kingdom, the great success that he thought he was having for the kingdom. And, but you know, any success that we have, folks, it doesn't come from us. We can't take any credit for it. It's by grace. It's by God. If we think we're irreplaceable, we're all wrong because, you know, God can raise up stones to take our place. He said so. You know, he don't need us. We need him. You know, that's the whole point. We need him. It's by his grace that we stand. Anything that's accomplished, he's the one that accomplishes it. Not us. He uses this body. We by grace are used by God to do things. And he can do it with anyone else. He doesn't need us. He can move over and use the next guy just as easily. God wants us. God loves us. And we are valuable to him. But he doesn't need us. If you say he needs us because he wants us, well, that's true. I agree. But don't think you're irreplaceable because you're not. Neither am I. None of us are. But anyway, I knew that this man fell because of the word that the Lord sent me, gave to me, that this was the reason he fell. As he thought, well, I'm entitled to more. I'm entitled to have a fling, you know, if I've done so much for the kingdom, you know, and so many people have been saved and so on and so forth. It's not that way. But anyway, I don't want to get too far astray from our text here. The Lord revealed to me that these men were the bulls of Bashan. And you say, well, what are the bulls of Bashan? Well, there's a prophecy in Proverbs chapter 22, Psalms 22, about the bulls of Bashan, 22 and verse 12. Let me read it to you. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and as a roaring lion. That's the prophecy that the Lord gave to me. And some of you recognize this prophecy as speaking about Jesus. Some of you don't, so I'm going to share with you the text. Why were these leaders called the bulls of Bashan? Because the bulls are the ones that sowed their seed in the cow. You know, the seed in the Bible is the word, right? And the reason Saul led his people to destruction at the hand of the Philistines is because of the teaching that he gave them. And because his leadership was faulty. And because his leadership was, because he himself was not led of the Lord. And we'll look at that in a few minutes, but first I want to point this out. The bulls of Bashan. Now, this is a prophecy. Actually, David was a prophet. Okay? He was not only a psalmist, but he was a prophet. And in many of his prophecies, he was speaking about himself. In this case, he was. In this chapter 22, he was speaking about himself. But he was also speaking about Jesus. And he was also speaking about the man-child of our day. See, history just keeps repeating larger and larger groups of people. For instance, if you go back to verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You recognize that because, you know, Jesus quoted it in Matthew 27 and 46. Matter of fact, a lot of Psalm 22 is in Matthew 27. Okay, you recognize that as Jesus who was on his cross and being crucified. We know that our Lord was crucified, and after 3.5 years of ministry, he was crucified. And that he was a literal man-child, and the man-child that's coming is a spiritual man-child. Meaning the death that the spiritual man-child is going to die is spiritual. It's a death to self. It's a crucifixion at the hands, by the way, of a lot of wicked, false leadership. What leadership? Well, in Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees, Sadducees, Zealots, other leadership, the Sanhedrin, false prophet. This leadership was crucifying Jesus and using the Roman government to do it. Is it going to happen in our day? Yes, it's going to happen, but in a spiritual way. First the natural, then the spiritual, we're told in 1 Corinthians 15. First, prophecies usually are fulfilled naturally, and then later spiritually they're fulfilled again. Well, here it is. I mean, we see Jesus going to his cross, and so shall the man-child. And in verse 8 it says, commit thyself unto the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, seeing he delighteth in him. You remember what the religious leaders were saying at the foot of the cross, right? Same thing, Matthew 27 and 43. They were saying the same thing. Yeah, let the Lord save him if he wants to save him. But the strong bulls of Bashan were these religious leaders who had ruled over that cow system and led their people to death and destruction. It's happening. It's happening now. Okay? That God is going to get a group of people out of there, a remnant to go on and to, you know, go into the presence of God is a fact. It's going to happen. But there's also going to be a persecution against the man-child at the hands of these Saul leaders. You know? Verse 16 is very similar to verse 12 about the bulls of Bashan. It says, for dogs. I mean, God calls his apostate leaders greedy dogs, doesn't he? He said, for dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Obviously, the crucifixion of the man-child being spoken of here at the hands of the Saul ministry, the Pharisee ministry, the Eli ministry, okay? Verse 18, they part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. That's Matthew 27 again, verse 35. So we see all the way down through here. Verse 22 also, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. You know, Jesus did this. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. So we see that this bulls of Bashan thing is something that was fulfilled in Jesus' day, but also in the man-child's day, in our time, it's going to be fulfilled. A great persecution raised up at the hands of the apostate Saul ministry. As you know, Saul persecuted David. He attempted to kill David and crucified him in many ways. You know, he spoke against him. He led Israel against him. But, of course, God preserved him. God anointed David to fight the battles of Israel while he was in the wilderness before he was anointed king, you see. And so the story back in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 is very much going to be fulfilled in our time with the old cow, you know. And it's got to be moved out of the way for the real power to come. The real power in this case was David followed Saul after his death here in chapter 10. David was anointed king over all Israel. And we'll come to that part a little later. But I want to continue, you know, in the beginning part of chapter 10 here. just want to tell you that this Saul leadership is going somewhere. It's going to destruction for all but those who repent and come out of it. And those that are under it, under submission to it, are called to come out of it now. I mean, Jesus' ministry, folks, was to call a remnant out of apostate Israel to come and follow him and go to the kingdom of God, obviously. And once again, the man-child's ministry is the same because Jesus is being manifested in the man-child ministry. And Jesus said this would happen, too, in John 16. A baby would once again be born to a woman, and he said, I'll see you again, you see. And he is. He's coming to feed his sheep, shepherd his sheep. Praise be to God, you know. We're looking forward to all that, aren't we? Praise be to God. So this old cow a-dying is talking about this this apostate system of what we call Christianity around us. It's all going to a crucifixion, folks. It's all dying. It's dying basically at the hands of their own flesh. It's dying because they haven't been taught that this old man has to die, as we've already talked about, you know. And I was thinking about those bulls of Bashan, you know. Bull could be short for baloney because I tell you, well, they got a lot of baloney with them. I remember a fellow back when I used to be an apprentice for Exxon many, many years ago. I was a young guy before I knew the Lord. There was a guy that worked with me there. He worked alongside me there for about 3 years. And this guy would faithfully bring his bologna sandwiches to work. I mean, just bologna between two pieces of white bread. And he'd bring two of them to work every day. And I'd ask this guy, don't you eat any vegetables? No, I don't like them. So the only thing he likes is bologna? Yeah, I like bologna. So how can you live on bologna? Don't you know what that stuff is, man? That's not the best stuff in the world. It's what's left over when the butcher uses all the stuff for other things. I mean, that's what they make. I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of was in my mind anyway. Says, how can you live on bologna every day? You know, I like bologna. I says, you must. I mean, you know, bologna, that's all he had, was bologna with ketchup on it. That's what he ate, I thought. You know, you really can't live on that. I mean, think about it, folks. A lot of people out there are living on bologna. The bulls of Bashan, you know, they're the seed that they're putting in that old cow is bringing it to death and destruction. But you know, the sower went forth to sow, and the man-child, Jesus, went forth to sow the seed, and that seed that he sowed in our hearts will bring forth himself 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is what we're looking forward to, right? And so we have to not depart from the Word of God, the true Word of God. And, you know, also, I had another experience when I first came to this town. I was invited to quite a few churches, and some strange things started happening. I was invited to a church. In this one particular instance, I walked in the back of the church, and I'm looking down front as I'm walking in, and all the way down front, there's the pastor standing, and he's facing me, and there's a woman that's standing facing him down in front. I see her. And suddenly this woman wheels around and points her finger right at me. She never saw me because I walked in the door, and she was looking the other way. She's looking at this pastor. And suddenly she wheels around, points her finger right at me. I'm the one coming in the door, and everybody else is seated in the pews and so on and so forth. And she starts prophesying. I tell you, she prophesied for, I don't know, it was a while. It seemed like a long time because I'm kind of nervous in front of people like in situations like that. So I just kind of froze, and I looked at her. You know, she had her finger pointed right at my nose, you know. She started prophesying at me. Well, I didn't know what the Lord had planned, but he planned to open a door for me. And he used this woman who'd never been in this church before in her life, she told me. And she never went back there either. Now, I knew her after this. You know, I got a little acquainted with her. But she prophesied at me and she said, I've never seen the Word of God in anybody like I see it in that man right there. You know, and then she went on to prophesy, you know, what I was going to do and so on and so forth. You know, well, it kind of opened the door because everybody was paying attention to me then, you know. And even the pastor was. Who's this guy, you know? Well, I'm a nobody, you know, and I like it that way. But anyway, So he started asking me questions, you know, and he didn't have a real deep love of the Word or knowledge of the Word. And he was basically leading these poor people astray, you know, like a Saul leadership. He was definitely that. And, you know, I mean, frankly, we come to find out that he was having fornication with some of the people that were in his mission, and that he was cavorting with his secretary, and that he was, you know, cheating people who he had was convincing that he needed their money in order to support this mission full of people, and telling them lies, and, you know, even lost the water one time while I was there, and he went, you know, came and turned the water off. He went out there and turned it back on, you know. He did something with electricity, same kind of thing. You know, he was just, you know, a dishonest person. But the poor people were thinking this was normal Christianity, you know. I mean, people, especially people in the mission who are first coming to know the Lord, and they got this guy for an example. And I thought, God help them, you know. Well, anyway, because of this prophecy, God was opening a door for me to preach and teach. And I did. I started preaching and teaching, and God was delivering the people, and God, they were getting happy, and I baptized almost the whole church because he wasn't ever teaching baptism. So I taught him about baptism, started baptizing him, and, you know, it never was an important thing to him. He had come out of a rock band, a very famous rock band, and he was used to being charismatic. He was gifted in song, and he was gifted with a guitar, and so it was easy for people to follow him. But when they started hearing the Word, some of them were getting kind of excited, you know. And he could see that he was losing his grip on them. And I felt like some of that jealousy that was between Saul, or in Saul, for David, was showing up. And as a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to this man who was a prophet of sorts, and he told him three times. He came and told me, he said, the Lord spoke to me, he said that I'm Saul and you're David, he said to me. He said this to me three times. He finally asked me, he said, what does this mean? And I gave him something, but I didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to give him everything, so I didn't tell him everything that I knew and what the Lord was teaching me, but he was teaching me through this experience too, you know. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what to do with this guy? I mean, he's a mess, and he's leading these poor people. You know, they think it's normal to do some of these things, and this is all wrong, and he was teaching them wrong. And I asked the Lord what to do about it. He said, nothing. He said, let the Philistines take him out. That's what he told me, just as clear as a bell, you know. I says, oh, okay. You know, he's Saul. I guess that's what happened to Saul. So let the Philistines take him out, representing, of course, his old man taking him out. And it was really strange one time because two of the ladies in that church had the same dream, exact same dream about this man and how he was going to get basically taken out. Well, they saw him going down the interstate and running off the road and into the water. And he was drowning in his vehicle in the water. And they saw me there. And I went out in the water trying to get the door open to get the guy out of the vehicle to save him. And I couldn't get him out. And because that was exactly what happened. I mean, I was trying to save the guy. I was trying to share with him the Word. I was trying to show him the ways of Christianity. I was trying to show him the ways of faith. And he would catch on to some things, but it wasn't important enough to him that he wouldn't continue doing his little conniving things in the background. And so I kept praying for him, working, trying to help him to see through it and help him to be delivered. But many things happened there. There were, in the mission, for instance, we cast out a lot of demons. I never saw so many demons to be cast out in a group of people in all my life. I learned that missions are a place for a lot of people that come in off the road that have problems, need help, you know. And so we ended up casting a lot of demons out. Some very supernatural things happened there. And but the Lord told me that this man was a Saul. And, you know, I started more and more taking over the ministry, teaching and teaching more, and taught less and less. And I asked him one time, I says, aren't you going to teach anymore? He says, no, I just feel kind of dried up. And I knew that the Lord was doing this so that I could help these people, you know. And it seemed like the same thing with Saul and David. Saul wasn't ready to go out there and take on the giant, you know. But he was glad that David was taking care of it, you know. And but then, you know, when the women started singing their songs and prophesying, they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Then Saul got jealous. And he eyed, the Bible says he eyed David from that day forth. He was worried about this guy taking over the kingdom, which was God's plan, you know. And basically it happened because Saul was not leading the people to crucify the Amalekites. And Saul refused to put to death Agag, who was the head of the corporate body of the beast, right? The old man. And so because of that, God moved on and chose David and anointed him. And I had some other instances of the same thing. Basically what happened was, during that particular time, some of those people moved on. Some of them came and fellowshipped with us. We taught them. We shared with them, so on and so forth. This man moved to another town. He prophesied that I was supposed to come over there and teach leaders in his particular building. But I just began to pray that God would open people's eyes. I did it in the first church here in this particular town. I prayed. I said, Lord, open the people's eyes. Help them to see that this man is not who they think he is. You know, God answered that prayer. People had visions and dreams of this man. One man that I cast 12 demons out of, that literally had supernatural strength. He came in as an alcoholic. When I was preaching, he got totally sobered up immediately. And he got saved. But then he started continuing with some of his old things. He started watching pornography. And these demons just entered into him. And he almost killed this pastor and his secretary. He did take his deacon out, send him to the hospital, shoved him through, or ran him through one of them big plate glass doors, and sent him to the hospital. The demons just manifested in this guy. Well, this guy was in the mission when this happened, and a lot of other people were in the mission, and he was basically leading them astray. And I was casting demons out, praying for the people, you know, helping the people along. And basically this guy, I asked the Lord to show people that who this man really was, this pastor really was. And like I said, two women had the same dream in that case. Another woman had a dream that she saw this man outside the window, and he was trying to gain pity from her because he was outside in the cold and so on and so forth. So she went to the church window and opened the window, and when he came in, he was a dragon. And the Lord impressed her to go down to the library and look up the man's name. She did, and his last name meant dragon, amazingly. And then this guy that had all the demons, he also got a vision. He got a vision of a man standing behind the pulpit with a microphone, speaking in the microphone, and the man was a serpent. And all the people were going to sleep. You know? So God just started showing people all these dreams and visions, and they just started departing from him, leaving him. And he went over to another city and did the same thing, and I prayed that God would open the people's eyes there. Same thing happened. Same thing happened. The thing just fell all apart. The church fell all apart. I tell you, folks, God's people are in bondage. We need to pray for God's people that God will open their eyes and help them to see that some of them are sitting underneath Saul ministries. They need to come out from among them and be separate, you know. After this, the same basic thing happened to me a couple of more times, because I was invited, for instance, to another church. It was a non-spirit-filled denomination. I was invited there to share. Basically met this pastor in a homeschool meeting, he and his wife, and they invited us to come and share And I told him, I says, hey, you don't even know what I believe. He says, well, I know you told me you preach discipleship. I said, yes, that's true. So he invited me over there, and I was very graceful with them. You know, you have to be careful and help people to try to receive some things from the Lord. So anyway, while I was there fellowshipping, there were an awful lot of sick people there because they really didn't believe in divine healing. They didn't believe in deliverance. They didn't believe in any of those things. That all passed away. So basically, I was sharing with people, and I prayed for some people after some of them gained knowledge. I went to their Sunday schools and shared in their Sunday schools and things too. And they asked questions, and I shared my experiences and shared words with them and so on and so forth. And it worked out to where we got to pray for a few people in that church who got healed and cast out some demons in that church. And the elders, of course, did not believe in these kinds of things, you know, and didn't believe in being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know. So I prayed over some people who were healed, cast demons out. My wife, for instance, went to to one of their ladies' meetings, and there was a woman there that she saw a vision of the woman with a very angry face. She knew it wasn't physical. She knew it was spiritual. She said she knew that woman had a demon of anger. And so they started going around the room testifying, and when it got to this woman stood up and she said, I just don't understand why I'm so angry, you know, and as a confirmation to my wife, you know. So my wife told the woman, she says, well, I'm going to get my husband to call you. I think he can help you. She says, okay. So she came home. She told me about it. She had a crippled foot. She had, she was full of this anger. And so I called her up, and I was being very careful because, of course, they don't get training in that regard. So I just shared with her. I says that my wife saw this in you. She saw a demon in you. This anger that you're having a problem with is a demon spirit. Well, thankfully, this lady was very young in this religion. She hadn't been heavily indoctrinated and so was a little bit open to the truth. So anyway, she came to my home, and we commanded the demon to come out. The demon came out. She felt the deliverance, and we told her about her foot, that the Lord also wanted to heal her foot. We prayed for her foot. God healed her foot. We prayed for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She did. She started speaking in tongues. She started speaking in Hebrew. And I recognized it as Hebrew and wrote it down and made sure I was getting the interpretation right, went to the concordance and so on and so forth, and brought it back. And she was actually prophesying concerning her family. And it was very good prophecy. It was concerning her and her family. And she was just delighted, you know, that she had all this, you know, that all this blessing came upon this lady, you know. And so I said, you know, it would probably not be a good thing for you to go back and tell the elders this. In this particular church, the elders had equal authority, and the pastor was an elder. And I said, probably wouldn't work well. But she was just overflowing. It kind of reminded me of when Jesus said, now don't go and say anything to this guy. And, of course, he went and just blabbed it everywhere, you know. Everybody, he couldn't even go into the town because everybody knew him, you know. Well, she did that. She was actually working part-time for the bookstore of this particular church. They had a bookstore. And so when some of the ladies that were there were talking to her, she told us this great wondrous thing that God had done for her, and they went right to the pastor and told the pastor and the elders and so on and so forth. So this was on the end of a bunch of things that we had done there, you know, as far as healings and deliverances, and so the elders decided they were going to call me on the carpet. They were going to say, you know, ask me what I was doing, you know, basically. And so they did. There was about five elders there, and they had made an appointment for me to come and they were going to grill me on what I was teaching. Well, basically, some of the things they asked me about was, joining a church. And I told some of these people, no, you don't join a church. You're baptized into the body of Christ. It's not such a physical thing as that. Nobody can hire you, nobody can fire you. You're born into the body of Christ. And there is no joining a church, you know, and a few other things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing and deliverance. They had objections to all these things. And so basically, they started asking me, why are you teaching this and why are you teaching that? And it was the Sauls around me, you know, the bulls of Bashan around me. And I basically just backed everything up with Scripture. I says, well, I teach it because it's in the Bible. I says, this is what it says about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Bible says about casting out demons. And this is what the Bible says about joining a church. This is what the Bible says about baptism. And, you know, just they just kept one question right after another. I just gave them biblical. And they were keeping the minutes of the meeting. Come to find out, it made them look so bad that they were trying to change the minutes of the meeting afterwards. And one of the elders spoke up and said, no, you can't do that. That's dishonest. That's lying. This is what happened. You know, they were trying to change it. They wouldn't let him change it. So anyway, I gave them all these scriptural answers. They didn't agree. They didn't use any scripture, but they didn't agree. And at the end of the meeting, they said, well, here's what we want you to do. We either want you to quit teaching these things, which I was not teaching there. This was people from their assembly coming to our meetings, and I was teaching them there, you know. We either want you to quit teaching our people this, or we want you to separate. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, give me another week, and I will go to the Lord to find out how to answer you. I didn't say what to answer them. I said how to answer them. So a week later, they call me back on the carpet, you know. Well, what's your answer? I said, well, I did seek the Lord, and I found out how to answer you. I want to share with you why I teach this, 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 and this. And I started just giving verses, more verses, just overwhelming them with verses and responsibility. Because, you know, when you give verses to people that say they're Christian leaders and they don't act according to the Word of God and they don't believe it and they can't even back it up with the Word of God, you're making them responsible. So basically, at the end of it, they just were angry. You know, one of them jumped up. One of the elders there, by the way, I had prayed for. He had been healed. You know, he had taken me to other people in this assembly. I commented to him about this long list of sick people, why they didn't pray for him. In faith, he said, well, why don't you take me and let's go do this? He did. I went with him. We prayed over three people in the assembly, and three of them were healed. And so he saw this. He asked me to pray over him to receive the Holy Spirit. So he was one of the elders there. And another man, you know, had been, his wife had run off with a so-called charismatic leader who believed in speaking in tongues. And so he was angry about that, you know. And I pacified him a little bit. I just told him, I says, no, it was wrong. It was an evil thing that this man did. That doesn't say that he was walking in the Lord at all. And I don't blame you for being hurt about it and so on and so forth, you know. But anyway, these elders were all ganging up on me and I was just giving them scriptural answers. But they ended up saying, well, look, we just want you to stop teaching these things. And I says, well, I can't do that. I says, I can tell you right now, I'm not going to back away from the Word of God, not one iota. He said, well, then we want you to separate from us. I says, okay, well, it was your decision, not mine. Okay, so I went outside the church. I shook the dust off my feet, just exactly what the Bible says. And in a very short time, their denomination decided that this pastor was not fit to be a pastor. And they made him a basketball coach instead of a pastor. Well, then the church was floundering, and they were using their elders who didn't know the Word of God in the first place to teach them. And pretty soon people just started leaving. It fizzled, and the doors closed. And so that was the second time I was in a church sharing truth, and God decided just to close the door. I mean, he made them responsible. These were Saul ministries. I'm telling you folks, a lot of these Saul ministries are going to close down because people are going to come out of them. They're going to see through them. They're going to see that they're dead. I'm talking about anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear. They're going to see that they're dead. And the people that stay are going to be dead. Remember, Babylon is going to be full of all these doleful creatures, you know, the Bible speaks about, you know. There won't be any, in other words, beasts, unclean beasts. Revelation 18 speaks the same thing. Ultimately, it's going to be full of demons, you know. In other words, you're either going to accept the truth and come out from among them and follow Jesus, or this whole thing is going to die, decay, and fall all to pieces. That's what's going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Two of those men later repented. It was too late. Their church was gone. God just scattered it. He just tore it all to pieces. Two of those men later contacted me and repented for what they had done. They realized that there was dishonesty there, that they were trying to change the minutes of the meeting. They were trying to make it look like they were justified in running me off. They were giving lies to the people about me, you know, and so on and so forth. But God didn't let them get away with it. He scattered them. He tore that whole thing down. Happened to another church after that. Same thing, same denomination, same thing. After I was there, the whole thing shut down. You know, God, when Jesus came, He shared the truths that were the Word of God. It made these people responsible. And he told those Pharisees and Sadducees, if I hadn't come and spoken unto you, you wouldn't have sinned, but now you've got no excuse for your sin. And so what God did with those people is He reprobated them. He reprobated them. He took away even that which they did have, Matthew 13 says. You understand that when I was going to this elders meeting, God gave me this verse. I actually asked the Lord, what are you going to do in this thing? All these people are coming against me. What are you going to do? You know, and I asked the Lord, I said, show me, Lord. I opened the Bible, stuck my finger down right on this verse. Listen, it says, this is Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 6. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious house. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that which I give thee. And he goes on to speak about eating the roll of the book, right? And I says, okay, Lord, would you give me one more confirmation of this? Flip my Bible over, stuck my finger down, listen to what it said. Jeremiah chapter 1:17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at them, lest I dismay thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a fortified city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, says the Lord, to deliver thee. Well, I'll tell you, I was pumped up and ready for that meeting that we went to, and the Word of God was just going forth, and it was making them responsible. Basically, God didn't let them get away with what they did. He tore their little church fellowship all to pieces. And God had demonstrated healing. He had demonstrated deliverance. He had demonstrated the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They denied the Word over and over and over. They had never heard it so plainly, I'm sure. And God just tore that Saul ministry down. And for some of those people, they went on to a David ministry in a type and a shadow. This was part of the training God was giving me, you know. He did this with me four times. Church after church, closed down, closed down, closed down. Did this to me four times. And you know what? I think it was a sign of things to come. I think in itself it wasn't all that significant. These churches were not churches. They were fakes. They didn't teach the Word of God. They had a form of godliness. They denied the power thereof. The Bible says, from such turn away. And thank God some people had an opportunity to do that, either because the doors closed or because they saw it was no good and they left first, one or the other. But God did His will there, and He helped some people. And coming down the road, folks, same thing is happening. We're looking at it happening all around us in Christianity. It's happening. They're becoming more and more corrupt. They're falling to pieces and falling into all kinds of sin, corruption, false, silly doctrines. And the people are beginning to realize what's wrong here. I'm talking about anybody that's got eyes to see. The out-of-church movement is great right now. As great as it's ever been. People are coming out from among them. They're looking to study the Word of God themselves. And I praise God for it. And I hope you are seeing that. And I hope you're praying and asking God to show you in the Word. I mean, you don't need to do anything but sit down and read God's Word to see what the truth is and to see what an assembly, a true scriptural assembly, is supposed to look like. Follow God, friends. Don't follow these dead denominations. Follow God or non-denominational denominations. God bless you and thank you. And we'll probably continue with this next time. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers